There are no tarantulas in Christchurch. Kia ora and welcome to Airman's Podcast, episode 234. I love sequential numbers. Today is Wednesday, September 15, 2010. I have some updates today, actually quite a few updates, including about the Christchurch earthquake. But first, last week was, of course, the busiest week of the month for me, and as so often happens, it interrupted my podcast schedule. I really need to do something about this, routine or whatever, to try to make it less disruptive of everything. But, yeah, we'll see how that works out. It hasn't worked yet, but we'll see. Anyway, it left me really tired and kind of at wit's end much of the week. And it's only, actually really only just now that I'm starting to come right. But that's because of some other things that we were up to as well, about which more later. First, I do want to update about Christchurch. The state of emergency in Christchurch was due to be lifted today, but that has been postponed until tomorrow. Apparently because they want the state of emergency continued so they can prepare for a state of urgency, whatever that is. I have no idea. But Christchurch is moving along. Things are slowly improving, except for one area in the affected region. Water and wastewater is all restored. There's one area where they're still under a boil water order, but the rest of the area is fine now. There were apparently something like 100,000 homes that were damaged in the region, which sounds like a heck of a lot, except that not all of them are, write-offs. A lot of them can be repaired and restored and carry on. But there are quite a few historic buildings that were damaged as well. And some of them will be lost, without a doubt. But there are others that they're desperately trying to restore or to keep in some way. And whether it's historic or not, there's a lot of rebuilding that's going to have to be done in Christchurch. And interestingly, that is expected to provide a boost to the economy of New Zealand at a time when it's really going to need it. GST, Goods and Services Tax, goes up on October 1st, which is either going to put New Zealand into a recession or at the very least stall the recovery, which it did in 1990. So there's historic precedent for that. But the rebuilding of Canterbury actually may help the economy, although I suppose a downside for the rest of the country is that it's going to be hard to find building tradespeople to do work because they're all going to be down there making money. But be that as it may, one of the things that the government has done in order to try to facilitate the rebuilding of the region is yesterday they passed a law under extreme urgency. And this is getting a lot of flack. It was supported by all of the parties in Parliament, as far as I can tell. I haven't looked at the actual vote total, but I'm not aware of any who voted against it. There may have been one or two, I don't know. But all of the main parties supported it, certainly. And it's drawn a lot of criticism from actually pretty much across the political spectrum, not so much because it's helping Canterbury, because that's a good thing, everybody agrees on that, but because it gives the government extraordinary powers. As written, the law gives the government the right to suspend or repeal any law it feels like that it feels is interfering with the reconstruction of Canterbury, and it doesn't have to go to Parliament in order to have that happen. It can just declare the law void, which is, of course, a very dangerous precedent. Now, the intent is obviously to expedite the rebuilding of Canterbury. Among other things, it's supposed to mean that the people can just go ahead and schedule the rebuilding and refurbishing, whatever it might be, of damaged structures. And then later on, they can go and fill out the paperwork, you know, get the resource consent and all that sort of thing. Because, it still has to comply with building codes and so on. So it's not like it's a free-for-all. But it could very well mean that other laws end up getting suspended if the government, at its sole discretion, feels that it's standing in the way of rebuilding Canterbury. And that's got a lot of people upset. Now, quite frankly, I don't know enough about it to have a strong feeling one way or the other. I can say it doesn't sound like it was a very good idea to word it the way they did. People who know far more about such things than I do clearly don't like it. So I'm willing to defer to them on that. But it at least was a step forward. I suppose you could say that, because the intent behind it was certainly good, to expedite the rebuilding of Canterbury. But, you know, the pathway to hell is paved with good intentions. So, yeah, well, we'll see. One last thing about the Christchurch earthquake. A lot of people don't realize that it was actually roughly the same magnitude as the one that hit Haiti. It was roughly the same distance outside a city, and it was roughly the same depth down from the surface. And yet no one was killed in Christchurch. There were only a couple of serious injuries, whereas in Haiti, it was obviously much, much worse. And a lot of people are thinking, well, why? And there's some obvious things. First of all, the building codes, which I already mentioned, are quite stringent in New Zealand for earthquake resistance. And that obviously meant that there wasn't the level of death and destruction that there was in Haiti. The buildings are much stronger, much more resilient. And in places like Haiti, they don't necessarily follow building codes anyway. They just sort of put the buildings up. And that had a lot to do with it. But another significant factor was the time of day. Because it happened basically in the middle of the night on a weekend, it was 4:35 in the morning on a Saturday morning, it meant that there was nobody around or hardly anybody around. So the odds of somebody being in the wrong place at the wrong time weren't very high. If the earthquake had struck at, say, the middle of the day on a weekday, there would have been far more casualties, both injuries and probably deaths. And so that was just pure luck. Whereas in Haiti, it happened in the afternoon when a lot of people were out and about. And so there was sort of a disaster waiting to happen in that sense. But it strikes me as interesting, the huge contrast between the casualties and even damage between the two places, which had very or substantially similar earthquakes. And it's one of those situations where there, but for the grace of hydrogen, go I. And it could easily have turned out differently. So that's updates on the situation in Christchurch. And now I have some, well, I was going to say personal updates, but it's more about my updates. And first, this past Sunday, we had a special event. Nigel's sister had purchased raffle ticket. And the prize, which she won, was to have the head chef of an Auckland restaurant called Clooney come to your house and cook a dinner for six people. And it's a very expensive restaurant. They, I believe, are the first restaurant in Auckland to pass the $40 for main price, a main dish. Americans usually call it an entree, but we call it a main. And he arrived, and I would talk in more detail about the menu, except that I cannot remember all of what it was. I never can. It's not unusual. And I'm going to post a blog post about this once I have a chance to sit down with Nigel, and we'll sort of reconstruct the menu in our heads so that I can write it down and post it. And maybe ultimately I'll mention it here, what we had, for those who don't read the blog post that I ultimately do in a couple of days probably. So, but it was a wonderful evening. Apparently, they normally charge about $2,000 for this sort of thing, and I can assure you that the raffle ticket was nowhere near that, not even a fraction of that, really, or a tiny, tiny fraction. And but it was really good because he was friendly and talkative and informative and all that sort of thing. He talked about what he was doing, his, theory behind what he was doing, about the restaurant scene in Auckland generally, and actually some of the other places in New Zealand where he's worked. So it was a really interesting evening, as well as being entertaining and obviously yummy. It was just a really good night. And we were joined, of course, by Nigel's sister and her daughter, our niece, and two of her friends. And so it was a really good evening. We had cocktails beforehand, which is unusual. We don't normally do that. And then wine with dinner. And the only bad thing about the whole night was that all went home, the guests, the chef left much earlier, but they went home around 11 or so, or at least it was after 11 when Nigel went to bed, and I still had some work I had to finish up. And so it was a very late night, and I ended up not going to bed until about 2 in the morning, I think it was, that night. And I was very tired the next day. In fact, I actually dozed off when I was going to have a cuddle with Jake. And yesterday I was a little bit better, and today I'm better still, and I'm sure that by tomorrow I'll be back to normal, well, so-called. And but it was a good time. It was an unusual sort of thing. I've obviously never experienced anything like that. And the reason we had it at our house is because we've got more room. We've got, well, the the living room, dining room, and kitchen are all one big open space. And so there's plenty of room. There's a huge servery that he could use as his prep area. And we had bar stool type things on the other side so we could sit and watch, which we did part of the time. Not all the time, because you don't want to intimidate him after all. Chefs, I don't think, are used to being watched by their customers. But it was a good night. It was a really good night and very unusual experience. It's one of the more interesting experiences I've had in my life, as a matter of fact. And as I said, I will be blogging more extensively about the menu and all that kind of thing later on. But speaking of unusual experiences and food, the week before, I used internet grocery shopping for the first time. Now, I've been intrigued by this since the 1990s, I guess, in Chicago, because a service called Peapod, which I understand still exists, launched. And at the time, it was in Chicago, it was only usable with Jewel Food Store, and it was only accessible through the Prodigy service, from memory. I could be wrong about that by the time I left. I think that they may have had a standalone thing by then. I really don't remember. But the thing is that it intrigued me then. Now, I couldn't do it for a variety of reasons at the time. But then fast forward a few years, many years, and we moved here moved back to Auckland. And I was intrigued by this, and I thought, oh, it'd be fun to try. And Nigel said, don't be ridiculous. You can go during the day and do the grocery shopping, which I did for a long, long time. But as you may remember, I don't have a car for the next month or so, and it's not as easy to go grocery shopping as it was normally. So I thought, I'm going to give it a go. Plus, which, I was really busy last week, and I wouldn't have really had the time to take out to go down and do the grocery shopping anyway. So I logged on to foodtown.co.nz, and you can go there yourself and sort of just kind of look around and see what the story is, see what things cost, what's available. Anyway, I went there and signed up. It only took a few minutes. It was very quick and easy. And then I logged the details of what's called a one card, which is basically it's a customer loyalty card. You go to the store and you get instant discounts on products, like 30 cents off of this, a dollar off of that, whatever, or multi deals where you buy five for $2, five cans of baked beans for $2 or whatever it might be. I don't know. I'm just pulling that out of the air. And the point is that you get deals that other people don't get, other people who don't have this card. And you get 1 point for every $25 you spend. And then once every 3 months, they send you a voucher that you can spend in store. And in my case, it's usually $15 each voucher, which I can spend it like cash in the grocery store. So it's money back kind of thing. And it's a small percentage of what you spend, obviously, comes back in the form of a voucher like that. We don't typically use coupons in New Zealand at all. We don't get manufacturers' coupons as a general rule. We have no coupon inserts in weekend newspapers, for instance. And it's really pretty rare for a manufacturer to send out a coupon. If they do, it'd be with a free sample, and that's really rare. I think in the time that we've lived in this house, which is now over 4 years, we've probably had maybe half a dozen free samples given to us over that time. That's probably about it, really. I don't think there's been much more. So coupons are not a big thing here at all. But these rewards back things are quite common. And so if you enter the details as I did, what that means is that it pulls up your purchasing history. It adds your purchasing history. Now, some people freak out about that, but that's the whole point of these loyalty cards. They keep track of your purchases. And the advantage, though, is that most people buy the same things over and over and over again every time they go to the grocery store, like toilet paper and bread, perhaps, not for the same purposes, obviously, and whatever. And that's true of me as well. Now, this was the first time I had used the service, so I went really slowly. But because it was the same products I always buy, I could just, I have one of those, one of those, one of those, one of those, oh, two of those, one of those, one of those, and so on. And it took no time at all. It took me less time to do that than it would take me to walk down one or two aisles in the actual grocery store. So it was really quick and really easy. Now, they also show you the special prices because, any given product might be on special for 30 cents off or whatever. And the price on the website reflects that. You get the advantage of any special discounts that you get with your one card. And that's really all there is to it. Now, you do have to pay with a credit card. You can arrange to do it by direct credit, which means that you transfer the money from your bank account to their account, but you've got to sign up for that and arrange for that separately. And obviously I was in more of a hurry than that, so I used a credit card option. And I was late placing the order because I forgot that morning. I was busy working. And by the time I did it, the earliest delivery band was between 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. that day. But it actually got here at 5:37 p.m. And everything was intact. Everything was there. I ordered just a couple of dairy items, some cheese and some milk, some frozen vegetables, some wine. I just tried different kinds of things, plus some of my usual stuff, to see how it would arrive. Oh, and a loaf of bread and some chips to see if that would get crushed, and it wasn't. And it was good. It was painless. I would definitely use it again. Now, I have blogged about this in a bit more detail. But one of the things I didn't mention in the blog post was something I thought was actually kind of funny. And that was at the end, you had to go past two things. First was a condition of purchase, which said, and I'm quoting directly here, liquor and or cigarettes will not be sold to any person under the age of 18 years. Liquor will not be sold to intoxicated person, sold on Good Friday and Christmas Day or before 1 p.m. on Anzac Day. Backing up, first of all, liquor, by liquor they mean only beer and wine because grocery stores cannot sell spirits in New Zealand. And also, I told you that there's 2.5 days of total trading bans in New Zealand. That is Good Friday, Christmas Day, and Anzac Day morning. So that's what they're talking about there. Then you have to go past acknowledgement. I have read the conditions of purchase and acknowledge that I am over 18 years of age and that I'm not under the influence of alcohol. Now, obviously, there's some sort of indemnity that they're trying to get for themselves so that somebody can't weasel out of paying by saying, well, I was drunk at the time or whatever. But it just struck me as odd because a couple other times anyway, mentioned alcohol and being under the influence of stuff. And I'm thinking, geez, like you're paranoid. But of course, I'm sure it has to do with legal things. But I placed the order. It went through with the credit card details that I'd already entered. And then a little while later, a woman from the call center rang me to confirm the order and that it was legit. And it actually arrived early. So I would definitely use it again. Now, as it happens, last night, after Nigel got home and after dinner, I took the car and went to the grocery store to get a few things that we needed in the meantime, mostly to restock a couple of items. And I probably will do that from time to time. But, you know, for the big shop, especially in the week when I'm working, the internet option is really good. Because the whole thing from, if you even include my setting up the account to the time that, you know, I sent the order off, I actually submitted the order, it was probably half an hour, tops. And it would take me easily an hour and a half, if not longer, to drive from our house, go to the grocery store, do the shopping, pay for it, you know, stand in line, pay for it, load up the car, drive back home, unload the car, and unpack and put it away. If you add the unpacking and putting away everything, you're talking tops of 45 minutes. So I think that it probably, all up, I would say that it probably took half as long or less than it would have taken me if I'd actually gone to the grocery store in person. So, you know, for that sort of situation, it was a really good thing to do. And obviously, I quite enjoyed the experience. I did. But that was one of my little adventures this past week or whatever. And that was in the midst of everything else. It was crashing down around me, it seemed. That was a bright spot to it or whatever. And that was on Wednesday, I think. Wednesday or Thursday? No, I think it was Wednesday. And but that was the only good thing. There wasn't a good week all up. All right, everybody. Oh, it's much better now. Thank you. But I'm now going to go on to comments. And first up, I have another fun message.
Hey, Arthur, this is Tom, a.k.a. the Ramble Redhead. Just want to give you a quick call to let you know I listened to your latest episode, and I just want to say it's wonderful as always. But I just wanted to echo everybody's comments and sentiments about I'm so glad that you and Nigel and your kitty cat and your puppy dog are all okay and that it was far away. And I'm so glad that no one was hurt from the earthquake. And I just wanted to give you a quick call to say I'm a listening and I just want to wish you all the very best. I want to thank you for your message you left on my 5-year anniversary and all that good stuff. So you are a great guy and I always love listening to your show. And you take care and I will talk to you again later. Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, thanks for that, Tom. And, of course, you've extended my voicemail line for another month, which is always a good thing. By the way, have I ever mentioned that Tom is the only podcaster I've met in real life? I don't think I have. Well, he is. He's the only podcaster I've met in real life. But there was actually a couple of issues that he talked about that I'm going to be talking about in the written comments. So I think I'm going to defer further comment and bring up some of the things that he touched on along the way. But of course, I generally go in order with the written comments, and the first one was from Hat M, who said, "Is cussing allowed on Audioboo? I just got frightened when you said you went to the pet shop. Thought you took Bella away. Apropos of the cat, can we get an update about that and how the strategy is going? Thank you, Hat M, who, by the way, is from the Angry Pantry podcast. Do check it out. I listen to it. Well, first things first. I don't know if swearing is allowed on Audioboo. The only thing I know for sure is not allowed is copyrighted music, which is true of a lot of things. And but as far as I know, you can swear on Audioboo. I don't know. Maybe somebody else can inform me because I've never bothered to look. I don't swear myself, so I don't know. But, of course, I can swear on my podcast. That's why it has an explicit tag. Actually, you know that's not why it has an explicit tag. I mean, yes, I wanted to be free to be my usual potty mouth self, but that's not why it's there. It's actually there because there was a period when some homophobes were complaining, officially complaining about gay podcasts, which were talking about gay issues, even if it didn't mention sex or anything like that, just because they felt it was adult in nature. So I thought, I'm going to head this off of the pass and just label it explicit, and that way I can talk about whatever I want to in whatever way I want to. And that's why it is labeled explicit. Now you know. But anyway, about Bella. Yes, and first of all, I'm not going to be using the Bella update theme song anymore, because the whole point of it, the whole reason I did it was because she was a new pussycat, which she, of course, is not a new pussycat anymore. But she did not come, of course, from the pet shop. She actually chose us when we went to visit Nigel's brother. But she is doing much better. She hasn't actually done a full-on attack of either of us in quite a long time. I couldn't even tell you how long it's been. Probably within a week or two of my talking about her attacks, it started to diminish. And nowadays, she occasionally will raise her teeth like she's going to bite, but she doesn't. And even more rarely, she might actually bring her teeth like onto my hand, but she doesn't actually clamp down, so there's no pain. And she's only scratched me a couple of times probably in the past, say, month maybe, past few weeks anyway. And she's much better. She's much more like a normal cat now as far as that goes. And she'll sit in my lap and purr, and I'll give her petting and scratching and things, and she loves that. And so, you know, that's all really good and lovely. She has, in other words, responded to our strategy. And we still have the water bottles around, but I haven't even picked one up, and I can't remember the last time. She doesn't try to eat Jake's food so much anymore. Every once in a while, she'll give it a go, and I just tell her no, and she'll run away, looking kind of weird, you know, like cats do. She's not quite as beggy as she was for her own food, and so she's generally kind of settling down and settling in, which leads me to think that she must have been really quite abused before she found her way to us. And that a lot of her reactions were based primarily on as reactions to the way she had been treated by others. And once she realized that we don't treat her that way, and that we're actually nice to her, she started relaxing. At least that's my theory. And Jake, meanwhile, is fine. He gets a little bit jealous from time to time, and what that means is that if we're paying attention to Bella, then he'll come along and, you know, panting and wagging his tail and stuff, and saying, "Hey, pay attention to me." And so we do, and then he's fine, and very often he'll just run away and do something else. He just doesn't want to feel like he's missing out on the attention. But he doesn't have an aggressive bone in his body, as I've said before, and so he certainly isn't going to harm Bella in any way. Bella has been a bit under the weather the past few days. It started actually on Sunday afternoon, and she sort of disappeared and was very lethargic. And Sunday night I heard her sneeze, and Monday, can't remember if I heard her sneeze on Monday or not, but she was kind of off by herself. But then yesterday she started hanging around more and jumping in my lap and sleeping, and today she's been doing that as well. She's still not 100%, but she's definitely on the mend. Her appetite is fine. She's drinking fine, drinking water. So I'm not terribly concerned about it. I am keeping an eye on her, however, in case it does get any worse. But on the whole, she's doing good. So thank you for asking, Het M. And the next comment was from Roger Green, who said, I didn't even know about the earthquake until Sunday when I read about it on your blog. The daughter was in a Pakistani wedding on Sunday. No, she was not the bride, with a pre-wedding event on Friday night. Glad you're okay, of course. And thank you, Roger, and I'm very glad to hear that you're not marrying away your daughter as a child bride. But yes, everybody is fine. And thank you for your well wishes or whatever. And the next comment was also from Hat M, who said, "In the morning I saw you were available on Twitter, but didn't notice anything unusual. Then Mr. Z told me something happened down there. Since I never read the news, I didn't even know. And I didn't even ask if you're okay after reading your tweets and blog. That makes me a really bad friend. Shame on me." Well, thank you, Hat M. And this is sort of what I was touching on, what I was going to touch on, talk about that Tom the Ramble Redhead touched on. And that is that I didn't mention this anywhere, either here or on my blog or on Twitter, on Facebook or whatever, in order to make anybody feel bad or anything. The whole point was that I knew that there were people who were following what was going on and were aware that it might potentially affect us. And I wanted to make sure that they all knew that everything was fine for us and we were okay. And that's all it was about. I mean, I'm certainly not worried that people didn't know that all of this was going on, because, I mean, why would you necessarily? You know, if it had been an utter disaster and thousands had been killed, you would have heard about it. But the fact that it was basically property damage, primarily property damage, meant that it didn't become a big global news story, plus which there were other things going on at the time. And as there always are throughout the world, there's always stuff going on. And unless it's a very slow news cycle, it's unlikely that you're going to hear about an earthquake where there's not massive loss of life. That's just a simple fact. So my mentioning all of that wasn't meant to make anybody feel bad for not knowing about it and not saying anything. I just wanted to have a way for those who did know about it to be reassured quickly that we were okay. And that's really all there was to it. And the final comment was from Kyle Hawaii, who said, Would love to hear you live and interact on Pride 48. Yes, it is neat that social networks can be used to inform one's family during times like these, earthquakes and other natural disasters. During the supposed tsunami that was supposed to hit the Hawaiian Islands, everybody was keeping track of tweets. Even the newscasters were depending on tweets across the Pacific for information as to the progress of the wave, which really didn't affect us, except for the chaos of the sirens going off at 6 a.m. on Saturday morning, sending all coastal residents for higher ground, and other residents like ourselves to go to town for gas and other supplies just in case we needed to run off of generators. All the off-grid residents really didn't have much to worry about in that department, though. And thank you, Kyle. And I was actually tweeting about the tsunami at the time, because we were supposed to be hit with it as well. And in the event, I think the one that hit Auckland, I think, was a foot high or something like that, or 6 inches or something. I don't know. It wasn't much. But, you know, you just never know with these things. And even then, my point of my tweets was, in a way, the same as it was about all this earthquake stuff. It was intended to try to let people know that we were okay and we're going to be okay. And I knew that it was the sort of thing that most people in the U.S. wouldn't have ready access to, the sort of information they wouldn't have ready access to, and that's all there was to it. Now, Kyle mentioned the Pride 48 live shows, and they are on. They are starting this very week on Thursday at 7:30 p.m. In the Americas, which is, of course, Friday at 11:30 a.m. here in New Zealand right now. And I'm going to be alternating weeks, roughly, with Honey from My Honey Wears Plaid. I say roughly because there may be some weeks where one of us does 2 weeks in a row. In fact, there will be weeks where one of us does 2 weeks in a row, or we might do more. Who knows? And the point, basically, is that neither of us has to make a full-time, week-on-week-on-week commitment to doing the live show, that the show will go on. And one or the other of us will host the show. And I'm essentially going to do the same thing that he does, which is a group talk show, a chat show, about various items that are going on in the news at the time that we record. There will be some politics, but they won't all be politics. In fact, there may be some shows that have no politics whatsoever. Imagine that. But they will be starting this Thursday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the Americas. And I'm not exactly sure when the next one after that is, but I expect to know by Thursday. And I will let you know. And Speaking of things coming up, I'm going to play this.
Hi, this is Nigel. Join me for music, chat and more on The Third Colony this Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern on QNation.fm. Go to The Third Colony, or one word, thethirdcolony.com for listing instructions and to join the chat room. See you on Saturday at 9 p.m.
Yep, Nigel's show will be back this Saturday at 9 p.m. And as I understand it, I believe he told me that this week he's doing gay favorites from the 1980s. I'm not entirely sure what that all entails, but it'll be certainly some of his favorite shows. And I will be there in the chat room, of course, as I always am. So you can go to thethirdcolony.com for listening information and to join us in the chat room. And it's always a bit of fun in there. So do come along on Saturday night and join us. Now, as a little reward for those of you who have made it all the way to the end of the podcast, I'm going to tell you why I'm talking about tarantulas. There was an internet rumor going around that when the earthquake hit, a tarantula at the University of Canterbury in Christchurch escaped its cage and was loose somewhere in Christchurch. Well, that is absolutely not true. It didn't happen. It's just one of those internet rumors that go around that are totally untrue. So that's why there are no tarantulas in Christchurch, and that's what I was talking about. So now, aren't you glad you listened all the way to the end to find that out? Of course you are. That's it for today. I will be back on Thursday with the live show on Pride48.com, and then, of course, back next week for a regular show. And, of course, I'm joining Nigel on The Third Colony on Saturday. But that's it for me for today. Talk to you soon. Bye. You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrenspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.